I on the air? Here I come. I'm just trusting that I'm on the air because my headphones aren't working. Well, if you're glad or if you're sad, if you're scared or if you're mad, no matter what you are, All Terrain is the tonic that will make you feel good, and it will take you anywhere you want to go, All Terrain. If you're a hard case, you'll be tender. If you're fat, you'll be more slender. If you're lonesome, you'll find true love, All Terrain. And if you're broken, digging ditches, All Terrain will bring you riches. It's the monster truck of tonics. Don't sit there catatonic. Give your brain a high colonic, All Terrain. All right. Welcome to the All Terrain Tonic Show. It's me, your host, Kevin Mattson. And if anyone out there can hear me, I hope they will come in here and tell me how to turn on my headphones. Yeah, I haven't done a live show since COVID. And okay, helpers outside there in the real world, I need your help. Okay, no one's coming in to help me. Okay, well, we'll keep moving here. Can you hear? Yeah, would you do that? Oh, my goodness, I'm being served by my hero. Okay. Yes, here they come. Anyway, welcome to the All Terrain Tonic Show, guaranteed to help you get rich, lose weight, and find true love. It's me, your host, Kevin Mattson, who has not done a live show since the days of COVID. I've been recording these at home. Oh, there it is. Okay. I was a missing button. Now I can hear I'm confident now. And as you know, I was so excited today to have a guest with me. I'm going to use a song here to get a chance to get to know her just a little bit before we get started here. As you know, here at the All Terrain Tonic Show, it's the all singing, all dancing All Terrain Tonic Show. So we're going to start with a little... normally I play something groovy to help you bop to the kitchen, but today I'm going to start with a little kitsch to help you get to the kitchen and back with that fresh cup of coffee, okay? Let's see if this works. And any second now. And no, it's not working. Oh, boy. Once again, let's see. It's got to be one of these things here. All right. Well, this is live radio, folks, and we're raising money today, so this gives me more time to talk to my hero. I'm gonna introduce her in a second here. I was hoping to give her a little heads up about where I was headed with the show, but now she'll have to wing it. And her mic is off. Let's see. You are, according to this one, you're there. I've got all the mics. Oh, there we go. Are you on now? If you talk.
Yes.
There you
I'm
go.
Yay.
Oh, gee. Listen, folks, this is real community radio. And as like I said, I haven't been in the studio in a long time. Been recording from home since COVID. And now I'm back doing it live. Played my real guitar right there and everything. Yes, I have a hero. Laura, may I call you Laura?
Sure.
I listened to you for years, and I always figured you were from the East Coast because you had that kind of Emerson Thoreau sort of a vibe going, excuse me, and scholarly and all that. I had no idea you were just probably living up the hill from me in Duluth. I lived in Lakeside.
Oh. That's where I live, in Lakeside.
Well, I never knew I would have hunted you down. And I don't want to waste... this is just a 20-minute program, and we're all down to 15. I don't want to waste any time, praising you to death. This show is called the All Terrain Tonic Show. And every show, I offer a little bit of practical magic. And it's sort of something to... help ease life along, and it's very mystical. Do you have a mystical bone in your body?
I don't know.
I mean, are you a hard-nosed materialist, or do you suspect there's something beyond the bounds of mere materialism?
All you have to do is make eye contact with the chickadee, and you know that.
And that is, see, there's proof of synchronicity, because when I grew up around Chicago.
Me too.
This is terrific. I lived in Mount Prospect. You probably lived in real Chicago?
No, in North Lake. My dad was a Chicago firefighter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I lived in the north side when I moved out of my house. Anyway, my father and I built a house up in Cotton, Minnesota, up on the Whiteface River.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon that?
In the bog.
Yes, in the bog. And that was the year I left high school. And then when I got done working with my dad building that house, I left to seek my musical fortune, and I moved to Chicago. And I didn't get back for a few years. And when I got back there, the house was all done, and the most miraculous, magical thing happened. I walked into the house. It was January. It was bitter cold. And my dad put on his hat and went outside. He said, come along, watch this. And I went outside, and he was mobbed by black-capped chickadees because he had filled his hat top and brim with black oil seeds. And they sat on his hat, and they sat on his shoulders, and he would put those black oil seeds between his lips and let them hang from his lip and peck them out of there. So that was astonished, you know. Most of us in the city, birds don't trust us, for goodness sake. And so I had a couple of questions about, the first question is, those poor little things, it was below zero. How do they stay warm? How do they survive up there?
Well, they're wearing the world's finest down jackets, for one thing. Every square millimeter of their whole little bodies is covered with thick feathers, and they grow more feathers every autumn underneath. So that's why they look so plump in the winter, is because they're fluffed up. But they, you know, there's miracles in the world. They have this amazing, you know, you can look at physiology and morphology to explain it, but there's something beyond that. There's such a warmth in that sparkling eye of theirs, and their inquisitiveness, their approachableness. I don't know how friendly they are, except I think they actually are. They remember us as individuals. They remember our voices. I've had chickadees in my neighborhood in Duluth that when I'm talking a couple blocks away, a chickadee will actually come look at me because they know my voice and they think, what's she doing here instead of up in her office cranking the window open to feed us?
See, that is absolute magic to me. And there's something about the way there's something special about about birds as creatures. The avian species affect us that I think is different from other families, other orders. I don't know if you have any comment about that, but
well, especially because you're a musician. Of all the animals on the planet, the birds are the ones that most appeal to both our eyes and our ears. And birds, you know, in the winter, you could see squirrels. You know, if you're lucky, you might see, a lynx or a bobcat or something. But the number of birds so outnumber the number of mammals. They're so approachable, and they talk. They make sounds that, you know, lure our eyes there, where squirrels, they only talk when they're mad at somebody.
And then that chipmunk in my ceiling.
Oh, I love chipmunks, too, and red squirrels and flying squirrels, but not if you live in the woods. Apparently, they're a big nuisance there.
Well, they're a nuisance in my ceiling, and my wife makes me chase them down. But anyway, So I got another chickadee question. They're my favorite bird now.
Mine too, and I've been around the world and seen quetzals and all kinds of amazing birds, but black-capped chickadee is my favorite.
Only seen the black caps because of Minnesota. Now, you did a show on this years and years ago, I don't know how many years ago, that was because I noticed one year I went up there. I had been away for a while and went back to visit my folks living in Lakeside there. And the chickadees were gone. There was like I don't know if the population just moved, but there was a kind of a collapse in the population up there. There just weren't as many. Do you know anything about that?
West Nile virus was one thing that really wiped out chickadees. Indeed, there were some Christmas bird count areas in Chicago where there were zero chickadees, and tufted titmice were surviving better. Chickadees, blue jays, and crows were wiped out, decimated by West Nile virus. But also there's some habitat issues, some insect issues that affect chickadees. They're pretty overall robust. Their populations come back pretty quickly. A pair of chickadees only nests once a year, but they can have from 6 to 8 babies in a single batch, well, even 9.
It's remarkable. Oh, boy, are these people, do they come in while I'm talking? I forgot. I got to take a quick break here, thank some people. Steve and Peg and, oh, Hubs Fries. Don't you love to see them at the fair? And Mr. Anonymous, thank you. And Sherman and, Gigi. She knows, I know who she is. I bet it's the one I'm thinking of. And Bill and Barbara and Patrick, thank you for being whatever you have become. I hope there's some sustainers in there. And by the way, I'm just going to mention this real quickly. I have made a personal commitment because I want to know who's listening to my show or that somebody's listening to my show. It's only 20 minutes, you know, at the same time every week. But if you listen to the show and if you call in before I'm done here and you're a sustainer, I want a couple of new sustainers. If you're a new sustainer, which means you're going to cough up, you know, $5 or $10 a month or something. You can set it at any amount. At any amount, I will double my sustaining pledge to this. I'm already a sustainer, but I'll double it if I can get 2 more sustainers, brand new ones. Okay, I know that's asking a lot, but you can do it. But thank you, all you people. I want to get back to my friend Laura here. As I said, you're kind of a hero. You know, the magic of your show was that it was always on just when I needed it. It always shook me loose from worrying about things. And speaking of that kind of magic, I work with kids. I substitute teach because I tried to retire, and my wife caught me. And she called up the schools and got me teaching. And then I entertain seniors a lot. But one day I was working with a bunch of, school is such a dreadfully artificial and boring environment for most kids in normal education. We have a lot of wonderful kinds of alternatives up here, Pleasant Ridge School, and there are more and more nature programs at the local schools. And I love teaching in the schools up here, here in the Driftless region. But anyway, one day I was at a school and a bird hit the window. I don't know what it was, a sparrow. It was, you know, some kind. Anyway, it hit the window, and the kids were kind of upset. They were young, and I they kept looking at this poor dead bird out there. So I went out and scooped up this bird, and I was just going to dispose of it politely. And by golly, it resurrected! It woke up, and it was stunned, and it sat on my hand. And then it hopped up onto my shoulder and didn't seem to want to go anywhere. Well, a poor concussed thing. I walked back into the school with this bird on my shoulder. You know, kids see birds outside all the time, and they don't think anything of it. But you bring one into a classroom, it was better than a puppy. These kids were just insanely delighted to see this bird. Excuse me. And they spent the next, the rest of the day, they were thrilled because, of course, the bird came too silent, and then it flew. And they spent the rest of the day trying to get that bird out of the classroom. And it would sit, and we didn't do anything else. But I think it was better for them than any of the lessons we had going. That was magical to me. Have you had any experiences with birds that were particularly magical to you, something that gave you a new insight?
Oh, yeah. And when I was a teacher in Madison, I did some, that was when I first started rehabbing birds, and we would have them in the classroom, and kids could take turns feeding a baby bird or stuff. Wow. And it was really fun. But magical, too. You know, when your eyes meet the eyes of a human being or a non-human being, you recognize a kinship, and it's just magical.
That is, you know, that's so hard for me to take off my teaching hat now, because one of the things I suspect is that one of the reasons for a lot of social isolation is that even as something as mundane as this, kids have their eyes on their phones, even when they're standing and talking with each other, they don't look each other in the eye nearly as much as I think we used to. I hadn't thought of that. When you have eye contact with an animal, particularly I think birds, they seem so frightened of us. What I had another question for you though. Where was it here? We got a couple of minutes here. You talk a lot about birds, and of course we think of flight and all those marvelous, miraculous analogies to life. But I want to talk about the other most magical thing to me about birds is the magic of nest building. Their engineering skills are astonishing. What have you seen that really is memorable about a magical nest?
Nests are the original, you know, baby cribs, and it's just so amazing, like watching an oriole build that complicated nest, and the female does the nest building. She gets this little oval rooted to the tree branch above, and then she builds it from the inside, weaving things in and out. And it's just so, I made a video a long time ago. I was leading a field trip, but we saw an oriole there, so I just pressed the video thing on my camera. And it's not very long, and it's a little shaky, and people are talking. But just watching how focused she was at that, it's so... And birds, the first time they build a nest, they're not always as successful as they will be. Birds have a lot of instincts that tell them what to do, but there is a lot of learning involved that helps them hone those skills.
That was going to be my follow-up question, was what do we know about how they gain these skills? And one of the things that always amazes me is I'll find a nest now and then that is the same structure, but made out of totally different materials. I've seen even robin's nests, you know, with yarn and hay and corn chaff. And how many things do you see nests made out of?
Oh, there's a lot. And some things are worse than others. It's good to put out dog fur and cat fur as long as it's not long. You never want strings more than 4 or 5 inches.
Really?
Birds kind of prefer longer ones, but I've also seen both adult and baby orioles that had strangled on monofilament.
Oh.
And so it's really important when you dispose of monofilament, wad it up and cut it with the scissors in a few times so nothing will be long.
Let that be a lesson to you, my fellow anglers out there. This is a big trout fishing region here. You wouldn't know it because there's lots of little rivers you wouldn't be able to find unless you know your way around. Laura, I'm so delighted you've been here. I can't thank you enough. I feel magical already. I've only met a couple of heroes in my life. The others were musicians, and they brushed me off. And you've been so kind. I hope we have a chance to chat a little more later. I'd just love to hear more about your life and some more magic from birds. That's it for the All Terrain Tonic show today. We're going to come right up in about 40 seconds. And I just want to say it one more time. We get a couple of brand new sustainers, and they tell me that I will double my sustaining. And that'll be a magnificent thing for a poor old retired guy who has to depend on his wife to pay the mortgage. And I'm saving up for new teeth, and I'll just have to postpone those. Okay, well, God bless every one of you out there. You know I love you much. This has been the All Terrain Tonic Show, and any moment now, you're going to hear the next show. Oh, there's a quiz coming up. These are some questions for Laura. I don't know.